Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Friday morning rain dance. Doctors recommend you stretch before you join us. About now.
Have no place to go.
I was talking to my friend Mark Zabelsi yesterday. We were trying to figure out when we were no longer cool. I said, you're not cool because you don't open the news with this. Hit it one more time.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going.
This should open to Channel 9, 9 o'clock news.
Mark and Micah. Yeah.
Tom Skilling. Oh, for goodness sake, Steve, I sure love that song.
Why would you and Mara supposed to think you're not cool? You guys are cool.
No, we were just discussing the fact, you know, talking about what our kids are doing and stuff. And then we started talking about playing basketball. And he still plays full court basketball, which aggravated me. but then we started talking. He's a year or two younger than me. And then we talked about how we're no longer cool. And I agreed he's no longer cool.
Yeah, I beg to differ. I think you're cool.
6'11". Hey, before we get to the top six at six, I got punked. Yeah. Yesterday, I told you about an Aerosmith story where Aerosmith's Steven Tyler had sent a letter to a dying fan. And in that letter listed 150 bands he thought were better than Aerosmith that this dying fan should check out when she can and as soon as she can. It turns out it was a fake story.
Oh, it was a ruse.
It was a ruse. It was a fake story. I was had yesterday. So I'm here to tell you I can be just as big an idiot as everyone else. Now, most of you knew that. But also, if I can find it fast enough here, I wanted to give credit to the guy that busted me.
Uh-oh.
And, of course, I can't. But I will.
I was Googling it yesterday. I was trying to find it after you were talking about it. And the most recent story that came up was that Steven Tyler was added to the concert list of the Washington State Fair this year. So maybe your story will put him back up over, you know, not playing state fairs.
Well, you know, I mean, state fairs are kind of a hip gig in a lot of places now, right? It just depends on the size of your fair.
Illinois State Fair always has a good lineup.
I can't find it, but I will find it and give credit where credit's due to the guy that busted me on Twitter and said fake story idiot. Well, he didn't say fake story idiot. That was my word.
Fake news.
All right. Top six and six. Ready? Go.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
Top six at six on 720 WGN.
We'll get to Good Time POTUS and America's Hot New Political Fun Couple, Reince and Bannon. But before we do that, cool story out of Miss... And I believe this is true. I believe I've vetted this. The Miss Australia pageant is the first in the world to welcome a contestant in a wheelchair.
Cool.
Yeah, very cool. And she did not win the Miss Australia pageant, but there's a secondary way to advance to... I think it's the Miss Universe or Miss World.
That's
I don't know.
Great.
I've never won either.
You've come close, though, so many times.
But it's great. Next! As you know, at any moment, Andrea is going to bring her friend Mr. T in, her imaginary friend Mr. T, who lives in her building with her.
I started the process last night after you sent
you
out...
You started the process last summer.
Well, yeah, but okay. I restarted the process last night.
Well, you might want to hurry.
I have to go through his spokesperson.
Mr. T and Simone Biles are about to be announced as the new cast members on Dancing with the Stars. And you know what you're going to get then?
What?
He's not even going to look at you in the gym. He's not going to talk to you in the gym. He will be Mr. T dancing with the stars. This is your opportunity to have Mr. T get his jewel encrusted butt over here before he just goes big star.
Why would you think he'd forget me? He's going to say, absolutely, Angela, the next time he sees
me.
He already forgot
me. Hey, look, it's Angela. You still on with Stan? I'm not doing that show. Next. And the full announcement, Mary Vandevelde, I think on the Dancing with the Stars cast is, what, a week from Monday or something?
Yes, I think it's March 20th, I want to say.
All right, well, you'll get us that.
Yes, March 20th it starts, but the actual, you know, announcement will be before that.
Yeah, I think they usually do it on a Monday.
Not be another gymnast. I've had it with the gymnast.
Simone Biles.
But that's ridiculous.
Yeah, because you might as well just give her the mirror ball now.
There shouldn't be Olympians in there.
They just won last year.
Hey, while you're researching, I don't know, you guys know the answer to this? Vandeveld, this is your department. Why don't you find out how much the winner makes, and does the money go to charity?
I don't think the money goes to charity.
No, okay, it does not. Plus, they get the lovely mirror ball. Okay.
Well, what do you do with a mirror ball? Hang it in your house?
I don't know. But the longer you last, the more money, obviously, you get.
Yeah, so tell me how much a winner makes.
Okey-doke.
Okay. My friend Mark Giangreco has been suspended for 2 weeks from ABC 7 News. I called Mark last night. We never connected. But and this is published. It's not like I'm violating my friend's confidence here. And I think Robert Feeder, as usual, had the news first.
Right.
At robertfeeder.com. Mark Giangreco suspended for 2 weeks from Channel 7. 2 weeks, a heavy suspension, especially considering the alleged crime he committed, which was a tweet slamming Donald Trump. I think a promotion might be in order.
That's what a lot of people on the internet were saying.
But what happened was some guy in Toronto that he knows, he tweeted something, he retweeted it, and then threw on a comment about, and this is where he got into trouble, and the people that voted for him are nitwits, something along those lines. Again, I haven't talked to Mark, but I'll probably connect with him this weekend. I'm guessing he's fine and a little bitter.
I think so, yeah.
2 weeks, it seems like a lot. I don't know if ABC is trying to send a message. It seems their larger point is the sports department is part of the news department. And if you're tweeting from the sports department, you're tweeting on behalf of the news department. The news department needs to remain impartial, so you can't be slamming Trump.
Yeah, it's
is
a
that fine, your read on it from you guys?
Yeah, but it's a fine line. I just think it's odd that he is a sports guy. I mean, it'd be like, not that Ennett would ever do that, but I think Ennett has a little more leeway to make a political commentary than, say, I would.
Yeah, probably, but I think that...
Seemed heavy-handed to me. 2 weeks is a lot.
I mean, you kind of know Mark. I mean, Mark's always been irreverent.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I mean, that's kind of his deal.
Right.
That's what's made him so popular.
That's what you're paying for.
Did right. Mark did something similar a while back. He made some funky comment. What was it?
And well, the
got a little slap on the wrist.
The heartbreak one was that he...
Oh, Detroit. That was the one.
I was thinking of Detroit.
He made a comment about the city of Detroit about, oh, it's just a typical night in Detroit.
Yeah, there was that, but he also was needling Walter Payton before we knew he was sick.
Oh.
And that one's the one that still kills him today. By way of topic, that's the one that a lot of people remember. We'll come back with our other top three. You want to do that? You want to take a break, or should I finish the list? Take a break. I'm continuing. Next, America's hot new fun couple, Reince Priebus and Steve Bannon. I don't know if you saw the video of this yesterday, but it kind of looked like two people who went out and sat on stage and said, we got to pretend we like each other for 30 minutes. I do think they get along better than we all thought they've gotten along, for those of us who follow this stuff. But these two aren't hanging out. And if Steve Bannon, and by the way, this is one of the reasons. I think we've finally gotten to the point where I understand one of the reasons that I have such a
dislike,
a reflexive negative response to Steve Bannon.
Okay,
he's Kevin Matheny. He's Kevin Matheny with hair. He's the I'm going to destroy everything. I'm going to come in and destroy everything and rebuild it in my image. That's who he is. He's Kevin Matheny. That's why he repulses me. And I'd say God rest his soul, but that's up to God and Kevin Matheny. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons that I see Bannon and I just go, I'd like to punch him.
I just don't get why Bannon gets all this clearance that generals and top officials in the armed forces don't get.
That's one of those powers of the presidency that's a little bit on the fuzzy side, because you get to pick people that don't have to have Senate approval and things like that. Next! Reince Priebus in some hot water today because he asked the FBI not necessarily to spike the story about Trump and Russia, but to come out and leak or directly say with attribution that there was no direct evidence that the Trump campaign regularly contacted Russia. The FBI refused. It is not only recommended that you not contact the FBI in the middle of an investigation. There are laws that cover it. There's no reason to think Priebus is going to get in any more trouble than he's already in over this, but it was a stupid move to make. And I want to thank the president for his very informative tweet on Chicago gun violence last night. You may remember last summer when he was the candidate, he said, I could fix the problem in Chicago in 1 week.
Right.
And then about a month ago, I guess he said, if Mayor Emanuel doesn't fix this, I'm going to send in the feds. And then last night, he said, do you have it?
I do.
Read it
I
verbatim.
Do. All right, verbatim at Real Donald Trump. 7 people shot and killed yesterday in Chicago. What is going on there? Totally out of control. Chicago needs help! Exclamation point.
All right, so I'd like to thank Captain Obvious for going out and tweeting that, because these are things that we wouldn't know without him, and thank God he's there for us.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran, brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show.
First caller wins an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. Brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Man. Call 855-955-HVAC. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, buddy?
I'm great.
Will you be watching
right now,
I'm sorry?
I'm going to tweet right now and see if I get in trouble.
Okay. Dave Annett's right. You didn't hire Mark Giangreco to stay between the white lines. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and you know, I think the interesting thing about social media, and as companies have it both ways, especially media companies, they want all their personalities to have social media presence.
Right.
And they want you to say stuff like, oh, you know, it'd be great, Steve, if you'd tweet about this event that we're having, da-da-da-da-da-da. So they want your audience and this and that, but then if you do something on your own and they don't like it, it's a little double-edged.
I agree with you.
Got to be careful.
The man's holding us down.
I get both sides of the...
Oh, stop sucking up. You don't get both sides. You
I
only
do.
Get the talent side. I've determined you only get the talent side.
No.
The problem. No.
Here's the thing, right? In what we do, we have an audience that you need to appeal to on both sides. Republicans and Democrats, they have leaky toilets.
Uh-huh. That's true.
You know what I mean? And
absolutely.
So, you know, I think it's important to... Steve, you stay right down the middle.
Well, no. Don't be giggling. Because generally speaking... I lean right on things and I lean left on
you
things.
You do.
Yeah.
You do.
I haven't figured out where I stand on Trump, but I'll get to it.
Right.
This segment sponsored, as I said, by American Weathermakers. And somebody asked me this yesterday. When stuff breaks at Lou's house, does he fix it? Because, like, when a doctor goes home, does he take care of the sore throats?
I do.
But do you put it off?
Mm. Wait, ask his wife.
A little bit.
There's a spot on the ceiling that leaked, and I've been slowly patching it.
Texter from the 269. Hey, Lou, my dad calls a chimney, and I'm sick of it. What should I do?
I think that he's your father, and you should respect whatever the heck he says.
Let's see. Your loyal and faithful bear wants to know when I should start planting grass seed for my lawn.
Oh, this is all a big tease. I don't want anybody to run out there and say, oh, we can do lawn and garden stuff. About the only thing you can do right now is rake.
But you should rake?
Well, I mean, it's so warm that if you want to get out there and get all that debris off your lawn, sure, absolutely. It'll look a lot better and it won't harm anything. But don't put any grass seed, don't put any fertilizer, don't do any of that because it is going to get cold again.
Well, we're having a huge problem with coyotes in our residential area. Don't know if they're wily. Animal control says nothing they can do as they're protected. Something's drawing them. What do we need to change?
Well, I mean, this is a huge issue across Illinois, and especially in the urban areas. And I think that it's because their food sources are not available, and they're coming in looking for food. I mean, the biggest thing is that obviously your trash needs to be protected and covered. There needs to be no food sources whatsoever. If you have animals yourself, like dogs, and they relieve themselves out in the backyards, those droppings need to be picked up quickly because those are also a food source.
So you need to follow your dog's butt around?
Correct. Essentially.
Yeah. It's not a pleasant job, really.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's a good thing dogs are cute.
Right.
Lee's in Naperville with your first call, your big April Air Wi-Fi thermostat winner from American Weathermakers. Lee, what's your issue?
Good morning, Steve and
Hi.
Lou. Thanks
Hi.
For taking my call.
Thanks for listening.
I have an older home in Naperville, and basically I have problems flushing my toilet.
And well, it's a handle. There's a handle, and you flip it.
Well, actually, I actually have the touchless handle, and but I'm wondering what I can do besides hiring a plumber to, you know, replace the entire guts, because I actually tried to replace the toilet once, and I found out my pipe in the floor is of the older nature, and it doesn't accommodate the bigger diameter pipes these days that all toilets require.
Okay. Sure, size matters.
So is it just the question that the toilet doesn't?
Yeah, the toilet doesn't flush.
Doesn't flush? Does it flush liquids or does it have a hard time flushing solids?
Oh, do we have to have details?
You know, it flushes okay. It's just very low and slow.
Yeah, that's what I thought. All right, hold on, dude. You're already a winner. I can't take details. All right, what are you going to do for
90% of the time when a toilet doesn't flush or hold water properly, it's because the holes under the rim of the toilet are clogged.
Yeah, you do a little scrubby thing.
You do a little scraping like a dentist with the bent end of a metal hanger, and you kind of scrape those holes around and open it up. And then overnight, what I want you to do is take a little CLR, like a quart, an entire quart of CLR, pour it in the tank overnight, let it sit there, and then in the morning, flush it. And that'll help to break up some of the calcium and that's inside there, and it should flush a lot better.
Even on a...
There you go.
All right. I was going to ask a follow-up, and I realized I don't want to. all right. Mary has a whiny staff question. I should say Sandberg, also a Mary, but, you know, for identification purposes.
Right. Yeah.
So Pat says that before we run the dishwasher, I should be doing the disposal first because the water comes through the same hole or something. And I don't use the disposal because I don't trust where the food goes. I just put the food in the trash.
That's where that all. I'm anti-disposal myself.
Oh, right. I'm going to tell him that Lou said not to
use
the disposal.
Well, Pat is half...
Try to avoid this noise when you tell him.
I think Pat is...
Lou said.
The water, if it drains through your disposal, which it may, he's half correct that if the disposal gets used at all and there's food stuck inside there, like down in there, you want to just make sure it's clear. But here's the thing that no one does. Before anyone runs a dishwasher, you should run the hot water at the sink and make sure it's super hot.
He does that, and you said he was right before on that.
The whole idea is that then hotter water goes into your dishwasher. It doesn't have to heat the water, and the cycle is shorter to wash your dishes, and your dishes come out cleaner. So as a kind of a rule of thumb, run the hot water
for
over the disposal until it gets hot.
Okay, easy.
No, but I mean...
yeah.
You know,
but just until it gets hot and then turn it off?
Turn it off and then turn the dishwasher on.
All right, so as soon as it's hot.
Right, and then run that if you want to go ahead while you're running that quickly through the disposal, flip it, grind it, go.
Why are you anti-disposal? You don't believe where the food goes
either? I think it's just bad for the plumbing system and it's bad for the water system because all that stuff has to be treated and ultimately we drink that water.
I take it more on a religious stance. Dave?
Nail pops. I noticed a nail pop in the wall of our master bedroom, the one in the east wing.
And then, right.
So what's causing that? Anything I need to do about
it? Just moving. You know, it's the studs and expansion and contraction. The trick there is to take drywall screws, two of them, and install them above and below about an inch away from where that existing nail pop is. And if you can remove the one that popped, then you take a little lightweight spackle, patch it, a little sanding. Touch up, you're good to go.
And the drywall screws will stay in place?
They should.
Interesting.
Great. Yeah.
All right, we've learned a lot from you, and you know I don't enjoy that. you're on TV this morning?
I am.
All right, just a few minutes. All right, hugs to everybody. I'll talk to you later.
Love you.
Oh, wait, don't we have a follow-up from Dave?
Lou, my buckthorn is exploding.
There it is. Back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Sunday. Live from Daytona. What's the weather look like, Dave, in Daytona? Do we know?
I will take a look. I don't know.
It's the beginning of the NASCAR season. It's their Super Bowl. Their biggest event is first. But they will be in Joliet eventually and then on to the playoffs. And there's some new rules and stuff. Anyway, Dave Ennett and I got a chance to talk to our friend Pete Pistone yesterday. There's nobody smarter than Pete when it comes to NASCAR and racing and stuff. He's not that bright generally in life, but in this particular thing, he's really good.
He's a very bright
guy. Oh, that's true. And we like him very much. And Dale Earnhardt Jr. is the story. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is the story after coming back from a nasty concussion. And led off the conversation with Pete about that when Dave said, all right, well, we knew it was bad, but, you know, how bad?
He was in bad shape. I'm really surprised. He had the accident in July. We saw him in August, and he had blurred vision. He wasn't even able to leave the house. It was that bad. And he went through a lot of different treatments. And in, I want to say November, he finally was able to get back behind the wheel of a race car, and he did a test at Darlington Raceway in South Carolina, medically cleared. And to be honest, from that point on, it's almost been remarkable of how much he's improved. We had him on our show on Tuesday. He was up in New York doing some stuff promoting the race, and you would never have known that he had the problems he had last year. So he feels physically fit. His team's ready. There's no doubt about it. And I just think that this sport, you know, again, it's not to the point where I think the sport would completely fall off the map if they didn't have Dale Jr., but I think having Dale Jr. certainly is a huge, big part of the sport. And he was missed last year, so having him back, I think, is a big thing.
Of course, the reason for the question is it's a roll of the dice when one more concussion could end you. As far as a quality of life thing goes, and there's a lot of races that would go on left in the year. We'll talk about the season in just a second, but give me some of the favorites for Sunday.
Well, he's certainly at the top of the list because he's run well here before, and he's got that, again, this racetrack. The draft is so important. It's something that's almost innate in Dale Earnhardt Jr., where he's able to maneuver the race car and get that draft and have that air suck his race car up to the front of the field and be so good at that. So I'd say he's got to be certainly number one. But the two guys that run for Roger Penske's team, you know, you think Roger Penske, Mr. Indy 500 with 15 Indy 500 championships. He's also got a NASCAR team. Brad Keselowski, who won the championship a couple of years ago, and his teammate Joey Logano, who almost won last year's championship. They've won six of the last nine races at places like Daytona and Talladega, the two big tracks where the draft comes into play. Most people feel, guys, that those two guys might be the best restrictor plate race drivers in the sport right now. So a lot of people are looking at Keselowski and Logano right behind Dale Jr. as the favorites for Sunday.
How about Denny Hamlin, the defending champ?
Yeah, Denny Hamlin runs for Coach Joe Gibbs, and he is the defending champ. The Toyotas, he's in a Toyota. They've been good. Now, the thing about the Toyota team is they work really well together. You know, they line up behind each other. If you watch the race on Sunday, you'll see those cars get real tight with one another, get in that draft. He's got teammates that he can work with over there, Matt Kenseth from Wisconsin being one of them. But Denny hasn't shown a lot of speed so far this week in practice and such. They've got another couple of practices Friday afternoon and Saturday afternoon to dial his car in. But again, I don't want to say it's a crapshoot, guys, that anybody can win, but this race is so competitive because of the nature of the kind of racing here. You can really rattle off 15, 16 different names, and I wouldn't be surprised to see one of them standing in victory lane on Sunday.
I always like to ask you, too, about the long shot that could surprise people.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple. There's a kid by the name of Ryan Blaney who's running for the Wood Brothers. The Wood Brothers have a car that have been – that team has been part of NASCAR since it started in 1949. He's really not – I wouldn't say green, but he's very, very talented but doesn't have a lot of experience. But at this kind of a racetrack, he's shown in the past that he could do that, and the Wood Brothers did that with a guy by the name of Trevor Bayne in 2011. So some people are looking at him as a long shot. And, you know, Michael Waltrip is making his final start of his career. Michael's doing a lot of TV work, but he is going to run the race here on Sunday. He's another guy with a team and a one-off that, not a powerhouse team, but he's so good and so experienced here. He's another guy that people are looking at as maybe that's a potential dark horse on Sunday.
If you're a fan of NASCAR, you obviously know the great driver Ricky Bobby. You were talking about a couple of the front runners, Logano and Keselowski. What is island hopping? Because this to me sounds like shake and bake, slingshot engaged.
Yeah, so it is. I mean, and that's what it is. Those two guys, Logano and Keselowski, will work with one another. When you get at a racetrack like this, the one car by itself can't go as fast until there's another car behind it that picks up the draft. So they call that island hopping, moving around, trying to find somebody to work with to get to the field. You've got a teammate, and most cars do, that's who you'd like to island hop to the front with. If you've got four, like Joe Gibbs does, that's even better. Here's the thing, though, guys. You can make all those arrangements and alliances all you want. When it comes down, and we saw this last year, when it comes down to the last lap and the checkered flag is flying, it's every man for himself.
Right,
you'll
right,
see
right.
Teammates just kind of leave. You know what? Thanks a lot for your help, but I'll see you later. And that happened last year, and I'm if it comes down to it, it'll happen this year as well.
This new scoring system, Pete, that takes effect on Sunday?
It does. And what's going to happen, Dave, is there'll still be a 500-mile race, but at two different intervals, they're going to throw a caution flag. Now, they're not going to stop the race and bring the drivers out of the cars and any of that kind of thing. This is going to be a kind of a point where they're going to bring them in. If you want to pit, you can pit. Reasoning for this is they think that attention spans, and you know, all the sports are going through this right now. How do you speed things up? How do you keep people's attention? they think by putting these intervals in, and there's going to be points available at the end of those two stages, A, they think the drivers might race a little harder earlier in the race, which would make for better competition. And B, I think from an audience standpoint, both watching on TV or listening on the radio or being at the track, it's a little bit more of taking it in increments instead of having 500 miles at 4 hours a crack. So brand new this year. Most everybody I talked to down here, guys, think it's a good idea. They seem to like it. Jeff Gordon, who I mentioned, was part of the group to help put it together. And he thinks that it's going to be something that's going to ramp things up. So that starts with this Sunday's Daytona 500, and it'll be every race this season.
It's Pete Pistone. We miss Pete. Don't we miss Pete?
We do
Pete
miss
Pete. Used to be in the halls of WGN all the time.
Yeah,
now
we
never
seeing
see
him around
Mr. Big Shot, Mr. Sirius XM, Mr. National Footprint. And don't forget, the Super Bowl is Sunday. A lot of people complain about this. They go, what's NASCAR thinking? That business seems good to me. The biggest event of the year, and it happens this Sunday at Daytona. All right, so we've come to that point. Who's your pick?
You know, I think I'm going to stay in that Roger Penske camp, and I'm going to go with Joey Logano. I think he won they had an exhibition race here on Sunday for pole winners from last year. He won that race. If they can keep that car intact here for the practices that we've got left till Sunday, and it's the primary car, I think Joey Logano and Roger Penske. And Roger Penske, by the way, when he wins this race, likes to celebrate, I'm not making this up, at Steak and Shake. So that's maybe where I'll be on Sunday night with
hilarious.
The cameras.
Dave Anna, who are you picking?
Well, if Joey Logano is good enough for Pete Pistone, he's good enough for me.
I got to go Junior. Right. I'm enough of a Hallmark card, in NASCAR, they're big on the sappy Hallmark cards.
Sure.
I'm enough of a Hallmark card guy going, I believe this is his last season, regardless. I believe this is his last 500. And I would love to see it. So it's a wishful thing as much as anything for him to finally get one.
You're not alone in that. There are a lot of people hoping to see Dale Jr.
All right, buddy. Thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Always fun, guys. Talk to you soon.
That's a great Pete Pistone. And he will, of course, be at Daytona all weekend watching every turn of the wrench and smelling mufflers. That's a lot of a
track. Every turn of the lug nut.
Yes.
Yeah,
he is a lug nut.
By the way, the forecast, very good for Sunday. 68 degrees and sunny, no chance of rain.
Oh, man. Light wind. You know, the number 3.14 car ought to be rolling fine in that.
You would think so.
Can I make a pick?
Sponsored by Pi.
Do you have a pick? I'm going to pick Junior.
Okay.
No, I am. I like him.
Well, you just did.
He's the only one I know.
Traffic, and then we'll come back and... you know, there's a lot of talk about how much money the Trumps are spending going back and forth to New York and back and forth to Mar-a-Lago. But to try to ease the pain for the rest of us, they've actually set the Mar-a-Lago weekends to song. So the Donald Trump Mar-a-Lago song in just a second. Hawkopedia coming up. Free Hawks tickets coming up. And Hawks Express to relive last night's second straight hat trick. It's the first time they've done it since the 90s, by the way. Patrick Kane had a hat trick last night after Taser's hat trick the other day. All right, so it's a lot of money. Yes? What were you going to say?
No, nothing. You were just foreshadowing the Hawkopedia.
Oh, good thing I shut up when I did. Coming up here, because of the money we spend to send the Trumps to Mar-a-Lago, the money we send to spend the Trumps or to protect the Trumps in New York, a lot of people are upset. A lot of people are saying, hey, we're supposed to be saving money. You're Mr. Save Money, you said. You're Mr. Cut Expenses. Like, I think the president does what the president does. It's part of the past. I'm not so down on him about this. I wish he would pick up some of the costs in New York. But listen, it is what it is. But one thing the White House did yesterday, and none of us are paying attention to this, and this may help. Everybody likes music. Everybody likes a good song. They've actually set the Mar-a-Lago trips to music. And you get a sense of really what goes on the weekends. Here's Mar-a-Lago, the song.
Leave Russia, Crimea, Putin, I'd love to see ya. Come check out Ivanka and her badonka-donka. We'll slip on our Speedos, show off our big egos. Ivanka being president's a breeze. Huge breeze. At a place called Mar-a-Lago. So beautiful. That's where I wanna go to hit a little golf ball. We'll do deals in the sand. Big league deals. Pour you Trump vodka with my tiny hands. Donnie and Eric do the dirty work, whatever I command. Believe me, down in Mar-a-Lago. Hey, Russia, Crimea, Putin, I'd love to see ya. Hey, Julio, hola, bro, make Vladdy a fish taco. Then I'll call Melania. She'll rub some lotion on you down at Mar-a-Lago. Forget the press and fake approval polls. Fake news, that's where we ought to go. My club at Mar-a-Lago. Hey, Kellyanne, did you pack your Ivanka-designed bikini? I want you to do all the Sunday talk shows wearing it. It's going to be tremendous. Hey, where's Steve Bannon? Bring your Bermudas, buddy. We need to get you in the sun more. He's so white. Wow. Oh, and Spicy, you better bring your sunscreen. You burn easily. I've seen you in the press room.
That's my friend Eric Harthen. EricHarthen.com, H-A-R-T-H-E-N, one of the best voiceover guys in the country. Minute before 7, we're back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hawks tickets 10 minutes away. And a Hawkopedia where you learn stuff from hockey professor Dave Bennett. At 7:12, Matt Larson standing by. Let's talk a little golf show here, Matt. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for coming on. Chicago Golf Show, when and where?
Chicago Golf Show coming up this weekend, Friday through Sunday, in Rosemont at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center.
And aren't you running the KPMG thing at Olympia Fields?
Absolutely. We have the KPMG Women's PGA Championship coming to Olympia Fields here in 2017, June 27th through July 2. And we also will be in the market in 2018 at Kemper Lakes Golf Club.
So a lot of great golf coming to town. You can find out more about that this weekend as well. But what are we going to see at the golf show?
Absolutely. At the golf show here this weekend, running a great special where we are conducting a long drive competition. And the winner of this long drive competition will receive entry into our Pro-Am. So it's an amazing opportunity to have a great experience and play next to the pros. It's over a $5,000 value plus a gift package to participate in the Pro-Am. And then those that finish in the top five will also receive some special tickets to our 1915 Club, which is a great space at the golf course for them as well.
Who's coming to the Pro-Am, do you know?
Yeah, Pro-Am. Obviously, last year for the event, we had 100 of the top 100 players on the LPGA Tour at the event. Additionally, we had some great celebrities like Dr. Condoleezza Rice, Ken Griffey Jr., one of the Property Brothers, which got my wife excited. So it's a great opportunity to play with the superstars on LPGA Tour, as well as some great celebrities.
Who are the Property Brothers? Is that a reality show?
Yeah, on HGTV. It's a great show. So one of them was in attendance as well.
This isn't the super rich brothers that yell at each other all the time? They sell the most expensive houses. That's not it? Am I thinking of two different shows?
I think it's a different show, but...
The Property Brothers is one... Drew, one's a real estate agent, one is like a Lou Manfredini, so they help people.
Do you watch any normal TV?
they help people find the house they want, which is too expensive, so then they get them in a different house, but then the other brother does
fight.
All the construction. Yeah.
And then they fight.
Well, they don't fight.
But... Yeah, they fight. He's always spending too much money, he's doing this, he's doing that.
They're also good looking.
Oh, well then, I can't believe I missed it. The Property Brothers, as for it by name. All right, so the golf show, hours?
Yes, begins today at 12 o'clock. Rest of the week starts at 8 a.m. and runs through 7 o'clock tomorrow, and then starts early in the morning on Sunday and goes until 4.
All right, and again, the long drive contest for a shot in the Pro-Am. And the best way to enter is to do what?
The best way to enter is to come on to the golf show and attempt a long drive.
So just bring your driver?
I do not. We have everything you need. All you need to do is just show up, sign up. And we also have some great opportunities to buy one, get one free on tickets as well.
Okay, so what kind of drivers are we using? Because it's a long drive contest and there's going to be a winner, but, I want my driver corked if I'm coming out.
We got some good drivers for you. Okay. There's some tailor-made drivers I think will suffice.
Okay.
Hey,
last
Matt,
question, Andrew.
Matt, if you're looking for a new set of clubs, is the golf show the best place to go? Because obviously you want to try them. You want to
try like the auto
sets.
Show, right? Where you
exactly.
go out and look at a car?
Yeah.
Exactly. You get to test run, pretty much everything here. They have some great deals, great opportunities. So it's a wonderful show to kick off the season, especially with the weather turning last week. Not so much at the moment, but people start thinking about golf now. So it's a great opportunity to, get ready for the season.
Thanks again. The website for the golf show is?
Website for the golf show is chicagogolfshow.com, and the KPMG Women's PGA Championship is kpmgwomenspga.com.
All right, I know it's going to be a long weekend, but you have a good time.
Wonderful. Thanks for your time.
Thanks. Appreciate you coming on. Got a mess at Union Station we got to deal with. Let me go back to Mary on that. By the way, Mary, since you're also following the Dancing with the Stars story, Hillary Clinton has officially turned down the invite from Dancing with the Stars.
Ah, bummer.
Big surprise. Go ahead.
I would have liked to see the glitzy pantsuits.
That's true. It would have been an outfit issue.
Yeah.
Yes, welcome to America's Hottest Game Show, whenever I remember to do it. It's time to win free Hawks tickets. Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks and the Blues Sunday night. I'll be at the game. I think Sandberg, you're going to the game too, aren't you? Sandberg will be at the game. Going to be entered to win Four Seasons tickets for next year. Four Seasons tickets. The Four Seasons people have been doing the Seasons ticket giveaway now for 3 years, I think. It's crazy good. And how good are the Hawks right now? Come on. Won again last night, 6-3.
How about every game, a different Hawk gets a hat trick?
That'd be cool. That'd be cool if Corey Crawford got one. That'd be cool.
That'd be a little hard.
Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. Roe has tickets later as well. All right, so why don't we stuff a puck in somebody's pants? That's right. Who's got a puck in their pants? Anyone? Anyone at all? Would you like a clue?
Yes.
He's tall, he's handsome, and he used to love to wear the color blue to work. He's tall, he's handsome, and he used to love to wear the color blue to work. First correct caller at 312-981-7200 gets those tickets. Who's got a puck in their pants?
It's not Dave Ennett, is it?
He's tall, he's handsome, he used to wear the color blue.
Are
Dave, you like blue?
Ennett. He's not going to wear blue.
I like blue, but I'm not super tall.
Lives
not
in purple.
Doesn't wear a lot of blue.
It's more of a purple.
Yeah, he's a purple kind of guy.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Used to wear blue to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. First correct caller, 312-981-7200. If we don't get a correct answer shortly here, I'll throw in an extra clue.
You're not going to do another clue now?
Nope.
Come on. That's it?
That's it for now.
Wow.
Let's see what you get.
A lot of people tall and handsome.
And he used to
wear blue
to work.
Yeah, could be a cop. Could be someone from the Navy.
Could be a Smurf.
Could be a Smurf.
No, tall. They're not tall. They're little.
Could be someone from Blue Man Group.
Ooh.
Or somebody.
The correct answer is not guy on the left.
Or somebody who drives Blue Thunder.
Mm. Tall and handsome, certainly.
Yeah.
Oh, nope. I'm sorry. That seems to be incorrect. All right, at 7:24, well, we see if we can get a winner. Are you ready? The professor is ready. So, you know what else we have time for right here? Right here, because we want to teach you the game. It's time for this.
The Blackhawks!
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Uh-huh.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk.
Chicago.
O-pedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
Sponsored by the official deodorizer of your Chicago Blackhawks. And if ever as a hockey mom or a hockey dad, you stuffed your face in a hockey bag, you know you need these guys more than ever. And who are they, Dave?
Fresh Wave.
Fresh Wave. That's right. Fresh Wave says if your kid plays hockey and smells, it's not your kid's fault, and you need Fresh Wave. Now, Dave, what are you teaching us?
All right. Well, we've been talking about Patrick Kane's hat trick last night. You alluded to this a little bit earlier, Steve. How rare for the Blackhawks to have hat tricks in back-to-back games. Didn't take long for the answer to come out after last night's game. Hat trick by Kane one game after the hat trick by teammate Jonathan Toews in Minnesota Tuesday. Marked the first time the Blackhawks have had hat tricks in consecutive games since 1997, April 13th, when Eric Daze did it in Dallas 2 days and one game after teammate Alex Jamnov did it against Calgary.
I forgot Jamnov played here.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't here long, was he?
He was here for a few years.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a drive-by. All right, so we got to wait 20 years for another one?
Well, no, not necessarily.
Okay.
Kane's hat trick last night, the fourth of the year for the Blackhawks and 46th in the NHL this season. So the Blackhawks have four out of 46. In the long history of the Blackhawks, there have been 253 hat tricks. Last time there were four in the same season, 2002-2003, which included the last time the Blackhawks had two hat tricks in one game. Daze, him again, and Steve Sullivan both had hat tricks against Boston. Sixth time that had happened in Blackhawks history. Now, what are the odds of that? It had last happened in 1986 when it was Al Secord and a guy you know very well.
Danny Savard. Who?
I'll give you a hint. He's on this radio station almost every game. In fact, every game.
Oh, a guy named Troy Murray.
Troy Murray.
Oh.
Dazé, by the way, had 6 hat tricks for the Hawks, which ties him with 3 others for 7th all time. Bobby Hull is the Blackhawks' all time leader, 28 hat tricks, followed by Stan Mikita with 16, so Kane has a ways to go. Last time the Hawks had 5 hat tricks in a season, 1992-93. Jeremy Roenick, who was on the show yesterday, had 1.
Right.
Steve Larmer and Michelle Goulet each had 2.
Robert Goulet's cousin, Michelle Goulet.
Exactly right. Yes. Who will it be Sunday night against the Blues?
I like Hossa. Let's get Big Hoss 3.
Okay, I'll go for that.
I work, yeah.
A hat trick of hat tricks.
A hat trick, that would be cool.
That would.
That would be very
That would be something.
I would say we don't see as many hats on the ice as we did in the old days.
No,
I don't know if it's a configuration of the arenas now. They go up more flat than they do top to bottom where you could actually reach the ice. I don't know.
Hats are expensive.
That's probably the better answer. 727. Big story coming up. 720 WGN. Well, nothing thrills us more than an exciting edition of A Puck in My Pants. And we have a winner based on 3 simple clues. Those clues, again, were he's tall, he's handsome. I guess I could have thrown it in. He's often seen in facial hair. And he used to wear blue to work. I mean, every day. It's like, come on, man, buy another outfit. Don't you know where a Marshalls is? Come on, let's go.
Facial hair might have given it away.
Let me go to the winner, standing by on line one. Who has a puck in their pants? Matt.
How you doing, Steve?
Hey.
That would be number 34, Kerry Wood.
Let's see if you're right.
I'm Kerry Wood, and I have a puck in my pants.
Well delivered as well. It's the first time I've heard it. Matt, you've got it, buddy. I'll see you Sunday night at the United Center.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right, thanks for listening. And again, that is courtesy of our friends who do it so well all the time. Four Seasons Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, and gift wrapping. They gave us the tickets, and you're qualified. Matt is qualified for the season tickets for next year.
3 straight on. Goal! Rangers, no good. Ball game over, and the Wildcats win.
Coming up in the 9 o'clock CLTV hour when we're on CLTV. Of course, you can watch the video stream anytime you want at WGNradio.com. You can click the listen button or the watch button. And somewhere in the studio, we have something purple. Spot the purple. Spot the purple after 9, win prizes. And, you know, we're just continuing to pump up the hype here because it's completely necessary and appropriate to do so. Well, necessary is the wrong word. Completely appropriate to do so. How about your Northwestern Wildcats? You'll hear the roar. That'll be your cue to call in and win and tell us where the purple is. Dave, are you going to roar for us today?
Roar.
There you go. So there's Dave roaring. Let's compare that now to the actual cat roar.
Yeah, it sounded very similar.
I think yours was more ferocious.
I think so.
Yeah. Coach Chris Collins joins us now. And, of course, on this Friday morning, Coach, you couldn't make it easy on me, could you, even at my advanced age?
It's never easy, guys. It's never easy, especially anytime you're trying to do something good. So we had a tough night the other night for sure. Was disappointing on a lot of levels. But you got to keep fighting. You got to keep playing. And got another great opportunity on Saturday night against Indiana.
See, that's the thing as a coach that's got to be really difficult. It's not like you can be mad at these guys. Nobody goes out there and goes, hey, what can we do to not score for 8 minutes? Nobody does that.
Yeah.
Everybody out there is working their butt off. It is sometimes they don't go in.
Yeah, we had a tough night. And also sometimes it's the other team's playing well too. So I think it was a combination of both. And when you don't put it in the basket, you're probably not going to win in the game of basketball since you need to score to win. So, we've had our struggles on the offensive end. We got to get better, and we'll have a challenge with that tomorrow because Indiana is a tough place to play and a team that can score very easily.
How much of it, Chris, becomes a mental thing? Because all these guys have made shots, and they've made a lot of shots for you. Guys like Vic Law, who've been big-time scorers, and Scotty Lindsay, who's still coming back from illness, and some other guys who they've seen the ball go through the hoop for them before. So does it kind of become a deal like a really good hitter in baseball who suddenly just can't seem to make contact?
Yeah, it can be at times for sure. I mean, it's so much of sports is momentum and confidence. And when you get into a little bit of a rut or you're not, you know, shooting the ball well, it can get on your mind a little bit. And that's where it's important. You know, can you find a way and maybe run the floor and get a layup, or can you get fouled and get to the free throw line and see the ball go in with a couple free throws and just get that feeling again of seeing the basket go in. And, you know, I'm a big believer in the law of averages. I talk about it all the time. I think you're going to have times when you have real hot streaks and maybe times when you're struggling. And at the end of the day, when you're a pretty good shooter, it's all going to pretty much even out to what your percentage should be. So maybe some of these games where we haven't hit, maybe we're setting ourselves up for some really hot shooting. At least that's the way I'm trying to think about it positively.
Let me ask you guys a question about the Big Ten in general, and it doesn't necessarily relate to this run. But when you look at the Big Ten standings and, you know, you see Illinois and Ohio State and Indiana and to be honest, Iowa to some extent struggling. There's sort of been a flip. You know, it's sort of been a flip to some extent. I mean, Wisconsin's still a perennial, but it looks like there is a little bit of a shift of power with some of the teams we saw from the 2000s on really blowing away the rest of the Big Ten, a little bit closer to the bottom now. Is that a trend or an anomaly this year?
Well, I just think there's a lot of parity in our league, and I just think some of the teams like ourselves that, you know, had year in and year out kind of been on that back half of the league have gotten better, and those teams you mentioned are still good, but I just think everybody's more on equal footing now. I think there's a lot of teams that are capable of beating each other on a given night, from 1 through 14, all 14 teams are capable of winning games. And I think that's what you've seen this year. I mean, there's so many results throughout the conference season where people's eyebrows raise, like, man, I can't believe so-and-so won, or I can't believe that team won. And it's just the way our league's been. I don't necessarily think those teams are down. I just think other teams have gotten better, and it's made it very competitive and very, very equal from night to night.
Yeah, and every team, Steve, has had some big wins or come really – like Rutgers, the last two games, they've been right there with a chance to win at Northwestern, yeah. And then at home against Michigan. Couldn't quite close the deal. Iowa beat Indiana the other night in overtime. Crazy game. And then last night, Wisconsin goes out to Ohio State and loses. And you mentioned Ohio State had been kind of struggling, but it's been that kind of a year. And Coach, I think it sets up for a great final week because, I mean, who knows how this is all going to shake out over these final
great for games. Us.
Well, it's great.
Great for Maalox.
It's great for fans.
That's
right?
What I'm saying.
Not so good for coaches, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you have to play every game in front of you. I mean, you can't get ahead of yourself. You can't start chalking up wins or saying, you have to play the games. And, you know, whether you win or lose, I mean, we've had those instances. You know, we've had some tough losses and then, you know, gone and won at a place like Wisconsin or gone out on the road and won against a hot team, you know, maybe earlier in the conference, being Penn State or Nebraska at that time. So you just have to play the game in front of you. You have to, whatever happened, you know, good or bad in the previous game, you gotta move on. You gotta prepare. We have three really good games ahead of us. You know, we have Indiana start tomorrow, and then two big home games next week with Michigan and Purdue. So we have three great chances to have a chance to get some more wins, and I know our guys are excited about it.
Our greatest concern, of course, this morning is how's your dad? as we watch the video, either live or the fact that it goes almost instantly viral. Good God, man, I want to find him and give him a hug.
Yeah, he's doing okay today because it's not game day, so he's fine right now. So,
and by the way, if people take a look at that, Coach, this is by no way a question of his son's coaching ability. It's just he wants a win so bad, and he wants these kids to make the free throws they have to make and all of that. He just pains, he bleeds for the team.
No, he does, and it's awesome to see. I know it's been fun for people to see the clips and get a good laugh about it. But, you know, for me to have that kind of support from my family and to see how invested everybody is into what we're doing and, you know, trying to finish this season off right. It's been great. And so I always laugh watching the clips afterwards, especially when you win. Makes it easier.
Hey, can you see down the road, Dave, at some point? Chris Collins is watching his kid coach. And he's going, you know, and you go, well, I'll never be that upset about it. You'll be the one. You'll have your face in a towel. Well, there'll probably be an app for it at that point.
I think every probably parent can relate when they see that, you know, whether it's watching your kid play sports, coach sports, do, you know, whatever performances they do. It chews us up inside because we want it so badly for our kids.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's been nothing but fun. So let's finish off the fun and go to the next level of fun because there's more fun to be had.
I hear you. I'm with that. Hopefully we can keep this thing going and get on the show more and ride this out as long as we can.
Well, you can get on the show anytime you want. There are people requesting you only on the show with Dave. But Coach, have a great time this weekend. We look forward to that win tomorrow night and maybe a little exhale before we get on to the Big Ten tournament and hopefully that big announcement just a week or so away.
I appreciate it, guys. Always fun.
What do you feel like doing tonight?
What? What do you feel like doing?
What?
What
do you want to do?
It's really up to you. You want to eat? I don't know. You want to eat? Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I advise men on a Friday and a Saturday, really anytime. If there's a hungry female anywhere near you, make a decision.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's right. Just stay alive, man. Stay alive.
True that.
All right. What do you want to do?
There's so much going on this weekend. We first of all have to plug your event with Mr. Pat Tomasulo, Cal's Angels Fundraiser. It's sold out. It's in St. Charles, but you can go to the website and donate, calsangels.org.
Thank you.
Chicago Dance Marathon going on this weekend at the Marriott, 540 North Michigan. Tickets, $35. Proceeds going to the Lurie Children's Hospital. The Chicago Vintage Clothing and Jewelry Show, that's at the St. Andrew's Greek Orthodox Church up on Sheridan Road all weekend long. The Illusionists, I highly recommend
you saw this.
Right? Yeah, I saw this two nights ago. It was incredible. It's only through Sunday, so there's only five more performances of The Illusionists at the Oriental Theater through Sunday. There are so many Academy Awards parties and Mardi Gras parties going on throughout the Chicago area this weekend. A Mardi Gras party at the Edler Planetarium. This is kid-friendly. There's the Orchid Show going on at the Chicago Botanic Garden still. It is through the end of March. This is beautiful. If you want to look at some beautiful flowers, it's going to snow this weekend. Get on up to the Botanic Garden. We had Restaurant Week in Chicago last week. Yeah. Andersonville is having its Restaurant Week this weekend.
I guess that's where
all
we
throughout.
Eat.
Yes, go up to Andersonville. Great specials. Prefix menus at most of the restaurants up there in Andersonville Brewing Company. This is through Sunday. You can go to andersonville.org for more information. Chicago Golf Show, we talked about that as well, kicking off today at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. This is a steal. Tickets, $5 today. Saturday, $10. So get on out there. It's the 33rd annual Chicago Golf Show. Attracts about 20,000 people every year. And the final one, this is for Mr. Dave Bennett. In Winnetka, yeah, kind of near you, the 2017 Wine and Beer Tasting Festival.
Oh.
That's tonight at 7
yeah,
o'clock.
Yeah, he knows.
I'm traveling tonight. I can't be there.
Oh, you're going to miss 80 top shelf wines, 20 craft beers.
Remember layaway? Remember the layaway plans? Sure. When you came? Maybe we could put your beer and wine on layaway till you get back.
I think it's a festival, Steve. I think you want to be part of the festival.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, it's the wine and beer tasting festival runs until
too bad.
9 o'clock. There's an after hours party, too. Maybe you can be back in time for
You're mentioning that. You say it's for me, but you're really saying it for you.
It's the Winnetka Community House. Hosting.
Maybe you could go in
this.
Dave's place and get ready for your big Oscar party.
Yeah, I'll try.
All right, at 7:57, thank you for that. Majestic Star Casino brings you Andrea's What the Hell Do You Want to Do This Weekend?
Not quite, but yes.
seems like it's probably not the exact title. Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing with good news from last night's Hawks game. Listen.
Banks a pass ahead for Taze. Over the Coyote line, right wing to the circle, put it across the small stage, and he scores! 37 seconds into the hockey game, the birthday boy connects. It's Smaltz ripping it past Smith, and the Hawks lead 1-0. Cut it out top of the left circle. Chychrun moves in, shoots, he scores! Jacob Chychrun with a vicious wrist shot from the left circle beats Crawford, and the Coyotes have tied it at 1.
Hossa to Hartman in front. Shoots and scores! Boy, a quick pass from Hossa from below the goal line to Ryan Hartman just inside the right wing circle. And he snaps it past Mike Smith. The Hawks are back in front at 2-1. Kane shoots from the left circle. He scores! He just took a little flip pass from Hartman. Ryan White into the Hawks on right circle. Moves in and shoots. He scores! Ryan White fired a shot from the right circle that deflected away, and then he played the carom off the inboards and put a little backhander past Crawford. Yotes aren't going away easy. They trail 3-2 with 2:18 left in period one. Now Verbata in front deflects a shot. They score. We're tied at 3. Down the slot, Rosenthal shoots and scores! Michael Rosenthal! Back in the lineup after not playing since the month of January, the former Coyote. And the Hawks are back on top, 4-3. Seabrook ahead to Kane over the Coyote line, right circle. Holt shoots, he scores! Patrick Kane used Tanner Carroll as a decoy. Carroll was coming late to join the rush. Aaron now sends it to Kane over the Coyote line down the left wing, and Chychrun reaches around him. The puck turned over Coyote zone. Panarin right circle to Kane in the high slot. Fires a shot. He scores! Hat trick for Patrick Kane, the third of his career. And the Blackhawks lead the Coyotes 6-3. A little exclamation point for the Hawks and Patrick Kane.
Yeah, ta-ta. Hooray for Hollywood. Sunday night's Oscars. You know the drill. You get all excited about the open. I think Jimmy Kimmel's going to be a terrific host. There's an early award for supporting actor and actress. And then for 6 or 7 hours, people you've never seen come up. Best key grip. Best food truck driver. And then 3 minutes before midnight, they rush the final 5 awards in. All right, before we get to our selections, do you have some Oscar news for me?
I do have a little bit of Oscar news. We were talking about how much Dancing with the Stars get paid. Guess how much Jimmy Kimmel gets to host the Oscars?
Well, nobody does this for money. I'm guessing it's a union minimum.
$15,000.
Yeah.
Not
that's
much.
A little more than the minimum, but I don't even know where they came up with that number.
And how about this? True or false? The Oscars red carpet, which is 16,500 square feet, costs twice what Jimmy Kimmel is getting paid.
I'm surprised you can get much carpet for $30,000.
$30,000 is how much.
Well,
the
I wonder
red
what
carpet.
They do with the old red carpets.
Donate them? Give them to
probably.
Charity? Maybe.
Yeah, probably.
The show's televised in more than 200.
We could use new carpeting in here.
We could use the Oscars red carpet.
I don't care for red.
After everybody stepped on it.
I'm sorry. Sandberg's already vetoed it. All right, what else?
Would it clash with the blue from the Allstate?
The Allstate Showcase Studio is blue with some pretty gold buildings, so we can't have red in here.
It'd be like red, gold, and blue.
Christmas.
The show's televised in more than 225 countries. Guess how much the cost of a 30-second commercial during the Oscars telecast is worth?
$2 million.
Yeah, $2.1 million.
Yeah, yeah.
The current value of the 24-karat gold-plated Oscar statuette, any guesses?
$676.
Okay, Mary, you were closer, actually.
You changed your guess.
Yeah, you said $1,000.
I said 800 off the air, and I was more correct.
It's $696 for the statue.
Is it solid gold or is it hollow?
24-karat gold-plated.
Yeah.
Oh.
You can get 6 of them at Costco because you have to buy them in bulk.
Exactly. All right, and who has the most nominations?
All time?
Of all time. It's not Meryl Streep.
Is it Abe Vigoda?
No, it's sound mixer Kevin O'Connell, which I know is your second guest.
Yes.
He worked on Hacksaw Ridge, making his 21st nomination and holds the record for the most Oscar nods without a single win. He's the Susan Lucci of the Oscars.
He's never won?
He's never won.
How weird is that?
21 nominations.
Wow.
He's the sound mixer. And Wolfgang Puck, of course, catering the Governor's Ball. They will serve this weekend, this Sunday, at the Governor's Ball, 7,500 shrimp, 150 pounds of arugula.
Wait, hold on a second. 7,500 shrimp doesn't sound like that much.
It does not.
That sounds like a weekend.
It sounds like 3 shrimp cocktails per shrimp cocktail.
Yeah, 3 shrimp.
Not a lot.
3 shrimpies.
And these stats are hilarious. 150 pounds of arugula for Dave and 2,550 macaroons.
And that's at his party.
That's at his party,
okay.
Yeah.
So that's the Oscar. Those are the fun facts for your viewers.
All right, there's your Oscar fun facts. All right, now we're going to do the picks. Now, I know how picks go with this stuff. Everybody starts yelling and arguing and everything else. We're going to pick the six main categories and a backup tiebreaker or two. Basically, if you look at the left-hand column of the Oscar printout, the ballot, they're all right there. All right, so let's start and tell what the scoring is.
So we're going to do best picture. That's 10 points.
Okay.
Best director is 5.
Yeah.
Actor, actress, 3. Supporting actor, supporting actress, 2. And our tiebreakers are foreign language film and the Steve Cochran selected category, makeup and hairstyling.
Right, because the hairstyling matters to
me. Because that totally does, yeah. So we have all the categories. If you look at your Vanity Fair 2017 Oscar ballot, everything on the left-hand side is what you want to pick. And please circle them. Don't do like a little dot like Grzanich was starting to do. I said, no, just circle it so we can see it. So there's no questions,
so this will be turned in, but I'm going to run through these quickly here. I got like a minute to do the entire thing. Okay, so here we go.
Okay.
Actress in a supporting role, you pick.
Viola.
Viola Davis, Fences. Anybody not picking Viola Davis? No, everybody's in with Viola Davis. Actor in a supporting role.
Mahershala Ali.
That's for Moonlight. I'm going to go with Jeff Bridges in an upset. Anybody else picking an upset?
You're confusing me. You're going out of order.
No, I'm going bottom to top.
Oh.
Yeah. Jeff Bridges is my pick. Anybody else? Anybody else? No.
I'm going Ali.
Yeah, if you didn't pick Ali. Actress in a leading role, who are you picking?
Has to be Emma.
Picking Emma. Anybody not picking Emma?
I'm taking Natalie.
So am I.
So am I.
No, I'm going Emma.
All right. So Enid, Mary, or I should say Sandberg, and me. We're all going with Natalie Portman.
What about Jake?
I'm going Isabella Huppert.
Isabella Poopy Pants.
Isabella Huppert.
Huppert.
That's going to be the huge upset of the night.
All right.
Ooh, that might be a good upset there, Mikey.
Actor in a leading role.
Oh, I'm going to say Denzel.
Anybody not picking Denzel?
I'm taking Casey.
I'm going Casey.
All right, so Mary and Sandberg, separate people actually in this case, are picking Casey. The rest of us are picking Denzel. Yes.
Why don't you go Ryan Gosling? Ooh. You should.
Director?
Damien Chazelle.
Damien Chazelle for La La Land. Anybody not picking the director of La La Land?
Yes.
Who are you picking?
I'm taking Kenneth Lonergan from Manchester by the Sea.
That's a good pick. That is a good pick. That could be an upset. Yeah. You're not going to pick Mel Gibson for Dean?
I am not picking Mel Gibson, no. And if Mel Gibson wins, I'm getting out of the business because I don't think he's quite rehabbed yet. Everybody else good on that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then Best Picture. There are 10 here.
Yes.
They are Arrival, or actually 9, I guess. Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, Hidden Figures, La La Land, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight. And you are picking.
I'm picking La La Land.
Everybody's picking La La Land.
They're going to win it. I'm taking Hidden Figures.
You know what? That is a really interesting pick. I might pick that for my other Oscar
pool. Yeah,
they
could pull it out. What about Silence? I don't even know what that is.
Hidden Fences, that's a great pick because that picked up, as Dean said, a lot of momentum in the past couple of weeks. So that Hidden Fences might be your dark horse.
What movie are you asking about, Mary?
Hidden Fences.
Silence?
Silence isn't on the list.
Yeah, it is.
Where?
I don't know. It's after Moonlight on my list.
I don't see it.
On my Vanity Fair.
No, there's only 9 this year.
Why does it say Silence on here?
Probably just because.
Because I wrote that for you.
Probably because we were late for traffic. So you're saying Silence, Steve. All right, now the tiebreakers are, people, I'm just going to give you the nominees. We'll pick these tiebreakers off the air.
Yeah.
Best foreign language film, Land of Mine, A Man Called Ove, The Salesman, Tana.
I think it's A Man Called Ove.
Yeah, close. He's the inventor of the Ove Glove. That's what that is. Tony Erdman.
Yes.
That's the name of a movie?
Yes.
And makeup and hairstyling, A Man Called Oof, Star Trek Beyond, and The Suicide Squad. Right. Oh, it's over?
All right, cool. Yes. Good luck.
Hey, Andrea, my stepdaughter pointed out you said Hidden Fences.
I'm sorry, Hidden Figures. Hidden Figures. I apologize.
It's an easy mistake to make.
Thank you, Catherine. Yeah. She's so sweet.
Yeah, it's an easy mistake to make.
Yeah, you get
she
a point
just
off.
She wanted you to look smart. So
Mary gets a point off. No, she's sweet. Tell her thank you.
8:20.
Hidden Figures.
Traffic from Mary. And then we come back, we're going to give you a chance to win. With a game we just invented called Oscar Nominee or Chicago Restaurant. Well, I was talking to Sandberg yesterday, and she had an idea, which I really liked. She said, I've made Dean sicker for another day so we could play a game. So Dean's off again today. He's got a bad cold. His text again was, I have a bad cold, stop asking. Oh. So we're hoping he's feeling better by, well, certainly Sunday, big work day for him for the Oscars.
Big day.
But we're here for a brand new game, which we probably won't play after this because what is it called, Sandberg?
Well, it's Oscar nominee or Chicago restaurant slash chef because we have names.
Again. Oscar nominee or Chicago restaurant slash chef.
Chicago chef.
I got a gym in Bensonville. All right, Jim, Andre and I and Dave and anybody else that's listening are going to try to help you win prizes here. You have to get, do you have, how many do you have? Do you have three? I'm talking to you, and you need to be on the microphone.
Oh.
Do you have three? Do you have more than three?
Oh, we have more than three.
Okay, because we need three correct answers to win.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Woo.
All right,
now, so are you guys going to shout out your names when you have the answer? Or
no, it's, we're not playing against Jim. We're playing with Jim. We're trying to make Jim
we'll
win.
We'll help Jim.
So if Jim needs our help, he'll ask.
Or lifelines.
Once again, this is Oscar nominee or Chicago maitre d', valet parking attendant, chef, or name of restaurant. All right, what's number one?
Angry Crab.
Angry Crab. Is that a Chicago restaurant or something to do
playing
with the Oscars?
That is a Chicago restaurant.
Ding, ding, ding.
Sorry. All right, that's one. You need two more. Two more. By the way, Jim, what do you do?
I am inside sales.
What are you selling inside?
Material handling equipment.
Like forklifts, stuff like that?
Yeah, I work for a forklift company, and we sell all the material handling equipment.
I want to get a low mileage, slightly used forklift. What's that going to cost me?
Probably about $18,000.
All right, pretty good shape.
There you go.
Yeah.
By the way,
are you playing shop talk here?
No, I'm trying to pick up a forklift for the weekend.
By the way, that's a good one because that sounds like it could be best documentary short, doesn't it?
What are we talking about?
Angry Crab.
Oh, talking to Jim about a forklift here.
No, I'm on the game.
Deal on a forklift.
I'm just trying to keep this thing on the rails here.
All right, what's next?
The lobster.
The lobster. The lobster or the lobster?
The lobster.
The lobster.
And what are my three choices?
I don't know how you can't
it's
follow
this. It's
either
an Oscar nominee or it's a Chicago restaurant or chef.
Okay, the lobster.
I don't think it's a restaurant. I don't think it's a nominee, so is it a chef?
And then remember, you can't ask for help. Unless the buzzer goes off too quickly.
Oh, Jim.
All right, number three.
Wait, do you want to know what it is?
Well, it's a movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a movie. Or it still is a movie.
Curtis Duffy.
Curtis Duffy. Curtis Duffy. The great Curtis Duffy.
He's a chef.
Curtis Duffy's a chef. Yes, he is.
All right.
Wait, Jim's just flying through this. I bet Jim is good at indoor sales because he doesn't wait for other people.
Give him a tough one.
Jim, when you sell forklifts, do you just go, how much do you want to pay for this? Do you just go, how many can I get for you?
How many do you need?
There you go. Instant closer. All right, next.
The Red Turtle.
The Red Turtle. What?
The red turtle.
The red turtle.
Red turtle. Oscar nominee or something from Chicago restaurants?
Chicago restaurants.
Really?
Oh, come on.
It's an Oscar nominee.
That's an Oscar
really?
Nominee? For what?
Best documentary short.
It's the name of a chef.
No, I don't know, but it is an Oscar nominee.
Wouldn't it be,
do we call
it? It'd be funny if the chef at the lobster was named Red Turtle.
Yeah. Hey, Red Turtle.
All right, well, you got to get this one right to win, buddy. All right, what is it?
Paul Verrant.
Say it again.
Paul Verrant.
Paul Verrant. Boy, that could be a chef because that sounds kind of foofy. Mm-hmm. What am I talking about?
Listen foofy. To you.
I mean, it sounds like a chef name.
Chipotle drive through.
I can ask for help or I cannot ask.
Oh, yeah, on anyone. Paul Verrant.
Somebody help me.
I think it's a chef.
You think it's a chef, Dave?
I think so, too.
All right, let's go chef.
Chef! Where does Paul Verrant cook?
V in Western Springs and Bistro in Hinsdale.
Oh, yeah, I know both of them.
V is delicious. No,
I bet Brian Campbell goes to the one since he lives out there.
Oh, we'll ask him in just a few minutes. Congratulations, dude. I have a whole slew of prizes for you in the right here in front of me, including food from Lou Malnati's. Is Lou a restaurant in Chicago? Yes, it is. We've got a gift card to Apt as well. We've got a ChevyDriveChicago.com WGN Radio stainless steel travel mug so you won't spill on yourself when you're on the way to Apt. And a bag of Papa Nicola's coffee courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. And an opportunity if you spend the weekend in the Dells with Sandberg where she will ask you the rest of the questions we didn't have time to get to. All of those are for you, Jim.
Thank you so much, guys. Love
thanks,
the show.
Thanks, bud. Thanks for listening. Oh, I got to get 18G together for that forklift I just bought.
Use Jimmy Kimmel's Oscar salary and then some.
Back with the big story next, and then Brian Campbell on Breakfast with the Blackhawks.
Let's go. 3, 2, 1, check. Cochran.
Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Opponents are going to need a smaller net. Hawks are pouring in goals now. Nothing but fun. I didn't catch a game last night until after the first period. I get in the first period intermission, and there's Pat Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet, and he goes, the score's 3-3. I go, 3-3? It's first period. How's it 3-3? And then they got a couple of quickies, relative quickies, in the second period. Now it's 5-3. Well, now I can go to bed. Now I don't have to worry. Now I can get some sleep. Woke up this morning, there was a bonus goal, a 6-3. So they are just getting it done now. Time for Breakfast with the Blackhawk. And this is, of course, thanks to our friends at MB Financial Bank. MB means business. Let's say hi to our pal, Brian Campbell. I think I got to be honest with you, Soup. I think since you and Panarin started Soup and a Sandwich, it's been a good luck charm to the team.
It's helped out a bit. I think, Soup and a Sandwich is what's, gets people away from the game a little bit. And when time for hockey, then we play some hockey. But lots of people talking about it.
We were talking to Coach Q, Dave. Was that yesterday?
Yes. Show?
And we have approval for you and Panarin to wear tuxedos during the game tomorrow night against the Blues in honor of your chances at the Oscars recognizing your work.
Oh, wow. That's nice. I'll walk the red carpet and tell them who I'm wearing.
Well, the Blackhawks do the red carpet thing before opening night season. Anyway. Yeah.
Can you see me working the red carpet? Brian Soup Campbell's here. Brian, I have to ask who you're wearing and go, rental.
Armani.
Yes, it's got to be back by midnight. Yeah. How do you explain that suddenly the back of the net's in big trouble? The Hawks keep putting up 5-goal games or better.
Well, we're just playing really good right now. We're playing how we need to play come playoff time, and we're rolling these lines. I think our forward lines, we got a lot of depth on each line, and so we can roll them, and we can maybe up the pressure and keep the tempo high. And obviously we always get great goaltending, and the back end has been really solid moving the puck up to those guys. So I just like I like our makeup of our team. I think we've finally shown what we're able to do, and a lot of these young guys, plus guys that have been around, are everybody stepping up, and it's different guys on different nights.
You hate to put too much on one game, but how significant was the win at Minnesota Tuesday, where you'd won a couple of weeks earlier, but you go in there and win again against a team that's leading your division?
Yeah, we're obviously trying to catch them, and I think we now have 2 games left, but at that point we had 3, and we're pretty much going to have to maybe win all 3 to try and find a way to catch them. So that's the first step right there, is to win that game. And, I like the way we played in it. We battled, we worked hard. It was a playoff atmosphere. So down the stretch here, we're going to have to get a little luck, but we're definitely going to have to do well in those games head to head.
Do you get into a position either waiting for a line change or on the ice where you can actually take a second to enjoy some of Kaner's moves? I mean, that little stop-and-go, little deke move he put on last night before he slams it in the back of the net, that's as good a goal as you'll ever see.
Yeah, he had a couple. Like, even his first one there where the goalie didn't even expect him to shoot it, and all of a sudden he fires it, it's in the net, and I was like, wow, that was pretty nice. So, yeah, I think you do. Sometimes I think his one that he went 5-hole with when he stopped up there, I was looking the other way because one of our D-men was changing, so I didn't get a good view of that. So on that one, Steve, no, I did not. I was not able to see it very well, and I'll have to watch the replay.
No, you don't have to. I just told you. You're going to be busy conceptualizing the next issue of Soup and a Sandwich. It's just got to be fun, right? Now, when you guys practice, do those guys show off a little bit, those puck is glued to my stick guys, and I can do anything I want with it?
Yeah, there's lots of trash talking out there, and we don't want them to score on us when we're, like, in practice on 2-on-1s or whatever. So a lot of times I'll just tell Kane if he doesn't score, which is sometimes not very often. I tell them to dump it in the corner and cycle it. So we're just trying to razz each other and have a good time out there to keep it fun.
You know, as a Buffalo brother, you both, you know, he's a Buffalo guy. You played in Buffalo. I would think, you know, he'd be respectful of you. Plus, you're his elder.
Yeah, well, we both cheer for the Bills. So
I mean, that can't be easy.
Yeah, right. That's a challenge.
No, but at least we're in this. I don't know. The Bears aren't doing that well either, I guess. So
I noticed
a little bit. Yeah, I don't want to be too hard, but so yeah, no, we've always had a good relationship, and we go to eat a lot on the road together. So you know, we're always chatting about different things, different sports.
Nice to see Roosevelt get back in there and contribute and get the game winner.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it was a great play, great shot. So I played a little bit with him last night. So everybody loves playing with Rosie, you know, when you're out there with him. You know, I've talked to Duncan before. He's an easy guy to play with. So I know he's battled that injury, and he's worked hard to get back. So, you know, he's so reliable all the time, makes the right play. So it was nice. He was pretty happy last night getting that goal.
Well, and what is it about him? Because Coach Q's got a special spot for Roosevelt, too. What is it about him? Just a great teammate, great guy? What's the deal?
Yeah, all of the above. But I think, you know, obviously he hasn't played a ton of games this season, but every time he goes in, he plays well. So, you know, you can just rely on him. He's just kind of the rock back there that you need. So, you know, when you have confidence in your players, then it makes it easier to coach. And I think, you know, with Q, he's got confidence in him at all times because he's known him for so long and knows what he does and how he performs every night.
What do we know about injuries? Anybody banged up?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, Hammer did leave the game last night.
Oh, he had to make a call.
You know, if he
had a personal call.
If he leaves the game, he has to be hurting.
Yeah, because normally he would have to be, unconscious and then carried out on a stretcher, and he still might go Glenn Close on you and come back in. But what do you hear about Hammer? Is he going to be all right?
I don't think it's not very much. So it's
it would kill the rest of us, but for Hammer, he'll play hopefully Sunday.
Yeah, I would not be surprised, but
he's a tough dude.
We'll see. Yeah, he is.
Yeah. All right, so every time we do the MB Financial Bank Breakfast of the Blackhawk with Brian Campbell, we always get a question from a listener. I am just opening this question now.
Uh-oh.
It's a big envelope. One second.
Do you read it before you read it to yourself before you say it to me?
Well, normally I do, but today Sandberg told me not to read it in advance, so we've got to get smaller envelopes. All right. And the winner is... Oh, no, that's Sunday night. Here's a question. It's a pretty good question. If a movie were made about the team, who ought to play Coach Q?
Oh, that's hilarious.
Wow. It's pretty good. Who plays Coach Q in the movie about the Blackhawks? You got to think celebrity, mustache, rugged.
Sean Connery?
Exactly what I was thinking.
That's awesome.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Now, he might be a little old.
How about Tom Selleck?
Tom Selleck? You?
I was just going to say.
You want to say Selleck?
Yeah.
Selleck's too big for the bench. We need somebody a little bit smaller.
How about Tom Skerritt?
Tom Skerritt, the cowboy guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, good cowboy
guy.
He's
good.
What about Clooney? Just because it'd be fun to shave Clooney's head. You know, give him a big bald spot. Clooney? I mean, he's a little
mustache.
Short.
Could Clooney do the mustache, though?
Oh, yeah. He's got facial hair all the time.
Mm.
I think right out of the gate, man. I think you got it right out of
Sean
the gate.
Sean Connery.
Yeah.
And I like that.
And he keeps the Scottish accent, and nobody questions him on it. he's from Canada. You know.
Shoot the puck.
That's how you bring in viewers.
That's it, man. The star of Soup and a Sandwich and one of the best to put on skates, not just for your Blackhawks and all the NHL. It's our friend Brian Campbell, MB Financial Bank. Hugs to your girls, and we'll see you Sunday night out there.
Okay, sounds good, Steve. Have a good day.
Thanks. That's Brian Campbell. Always difficult to work with.
Yeah, he really is. High maintenance.
No, wait, who would play? Oh, would Brian Campbell play himself?
No, that'd be Ron Howard. Yes, Ron Howard.
I think we need to cast the whole movie here.
Yeah, the Blackhawks movie.
Matt Merton could play Campbell.
Oh, Matt Merton.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Matt Merton's home.
Wrong redhead.
Matt Merton's home waiting for your call.
8:52, traffic update from Mary. Coming up in a little bit, Jesse White, your Secretary of State, is in studio. And if you need a license, swing by. We're on Michigan Avenue. He's got the printer right here. Illinois Secretary of State Jesse White is in studio. Lean right in there, boss, if you would. How are you?
Glad to be on board.
Good to see you again. How's it you get younger every time I see you?
Well, I'm 82 years old.
Stop it. You are not.
And holy.
Why don't you show me a driver's license? Show me a driver's license. Let's check your age.
It's 82.
You look fantastic.
And by the way, runs, not walks, in every parade in this city with Jesse White tumblers.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. You know what?
I've been doing that for
exactly 58 years.
Wow.
You know, the closest I get to your tumbling team, watching your tumbling team. Those teams are great, though. The kids are great. And it's one of the real gifts, I think, that you've given to the community over the years, because kids get an opportunity to do the right thing, not the wrong thing.
When you look at what's happening on the west side and south side of the city of Chicago, and you see these 225 young people, seven units, doing 1,500 shows a year, traveling all over the world, our future is bright.
Right. When we come back after the top, you know, one of my main things I always love talking about is organ donation. And there's a big thing, an initiative, and an important thing I need to mention now. But also, would you mind if we take a couple texter questions, too, just general stuff they want to know? Because one of the things I want to salute you about is I haven't been in, you know, a lot recently, but the people at the Secretary of State's offices, they're in a much better mood than they used to be.
Yeah, we pride ourselves on community service. And we, as I indicated before, when you come to the Secretary of State's office, you no longer have to bring your duffel bag, sleeping bag, or your lunch pail. We get you in and out in a timely manner. And we treat you in a highly professional way.
That's good.
I want to know about it.
I was at the DMV last year, the one at the Thompson Center. I think I was, my picture, I'm smiling so happy. And they said, why are you smiling? I said, I was in and out in about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Music
is a world within itself. Friday. Well, it's probably Friday where you are as well. And this is show number 848. Ed Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show. Secretary of State Jesse White is here. Listen, there's never enough time to talk to you. We should just tape the stuff we talk about in the breaks and then play that later. And then do what we do on the air. But let me read a few texts here. Hooray for Jesse White. Best wishes. An early volunteer with Jesse. Mary June Jones. Huge fan of all the great things he's done through all the years. Can you tell Mr. White, thank you. He's been a great service to our state. We love him for that. And 847, the Secretary of State's office in Woodstock is the best-run government office in the country. You really have, we can go on all day about the tumbling team, but you really have made a change in the culture of the Secretary of State's office, and it's a necessity. We all need it. We got to get it done, and I just love the work you've done there. So I'm saying now, on behalf of the rest of Illinois, sorry, you can't retire.
Well, thank you very much, Steve.
And it's great to have you here again.
Glad to be on board.
All right, let's talk organ donation. In particular, organ donation for younger folks who would never think about it.
Well, right now, if you're 18 years of age, you can sign up, become a part of the organ and tissue donor program. Here in Illinois, we have 6.1 million people who have signed up to become a part of the organ and tissue donor program. 4,700 individuals are on the waiting list, and each year about 300 people die because organs have not arrived in a timely manner.
Right.
We ask that when you're alive and well, give blood. When you're no longer here, give organs. And when you've done those two things, you've made a positive impact upon society, considering the fact that one person can provide life or improve the quality of life for 25 individuals. We have decided...
One person. Let that set in for a second. One person can save or change the lives of 25 others.
That's exactly right. And so what we did is we introduced a piece of legislation in Springfield to allow 16 and 17-year-olds, when they get their driver's license or their state ID, to be a part of the organ and tissue donor program.
That's great.
And when you put those two numbers together, the state IDs and the driver's license, we're talking about 350,000 additional individuals who are potential organ donors.
Yeah, and I think there's a message there that parents have to get over and to express to their kids, or maybe it's the kids telling their parents, but this is not about you dying. This is about all of us doing the right thing. And let's talk about some of those myths you hear all the time. You know, if people go, well, no, I can't do organ donation because when I die, I want to have an open casket.
Well, then there are individuals who will say, well, they'll sell my organs. Well, we don't sell organs in this country. Oh, they'll say, because of religious reasons, we cannot participate.
Are you going to cut my body up? And it's, I don't want you to do that.
Or the doctor's not going to put forth the genuine effort to save me. And then, of course, they'll say, I won't look good. Am I going away? Well, morticians have it down to the science. They know how well
How many times at a funeral have had this conversation? Oh, he looks so good. Well, actually, he doesn't look great considering right. where he is now, but he does look good. So they'll take care of it. So all of those things you hear every day, they're concerns, but they're nonsense. It's just it should not be a worry.
That's right. Well, we're one of the few states in the country where our numbers are just jumping off the chart, and then when we include these 16 and 17-year-olds, our numbers will be outstanding.
So how will a 16 and 17-year-old be allowed to say maybe they won't get their license until they're 16 and a half or 17? Is this a separate card or a separate application they'll have to fill out?
On your driver's license or on your state ID, you'll see an outline of the state of Illinois, and inside the box in red, you'll see where it says donor.
Okay, so what if a 16-year-old doesn't have a license yet, though, because some wait till they're 16 to take the class?
They can receive organs.
Okay.
And they can give organs with the permission of their parents.
But once they get the license, they can sign up. All right, couple more texter questions. Well, you had that driver's license plate question.
Oh, you know, I did. And actually, one of our engineers noticed that. He said, you know, your license plate, the back plate, I've had the plates for a while, but you get the sticker every year and you just keep putting the sticker on top of the license plate. The license plate, it's starting to rust around the, what the plate says. And he said, oh, you can just return the plates and get a new plate. Can I do that?
He was absolutely correct.
Okay.
That's a manufacturer's defect where the license plate was made of steel, and the paint did not properly adhere to it. So we have been reimbursed by the manufacturer, which means that if by chance you turn that plate into us, we will give you a new set of license plates free of charge.
Okay, and the sticker that I already have on there, I'll get a new sticker too?
Yes.
Okay, the sticker's good then.
Do you have to go to an office to do that, I assume?
No, you can call us and... www.secretaryofstate.com.
Okay, and I can do it online.
You can do it online, yes.
Okay, perfect.
That's all exactly right. The reminder mailer for stickers still goes out or doesn't go out anymore?
Well, we send them out now.
Yeah, and you get an email too.
Oh, sure.
So you can do it all online now.
Yeah, by the way.
We'd rather for you to sign up by way of email.
Yeah.
Then you'll get a notice from us that way. It's easier. It's cheaper for us because right now it's about $450,000 a month for us to send out those notices.
I just got mine.
Plus, he licks all the stamps.
I know, right? I got mine in December. I did it because it expired at the end of January. I did it. I got it literally in a week.
Here's another text for you, Jess, if you don't mind me bragging about you a little bit. 630, agree wholeheartedly. Jesse White is what any public servant ought to be. He gives us hope for what we can be. That includes Secretary of State as well as everything he does with the tumbling team. The tumbling team, you know, we talked about it a little bit. Where are these kids gone in the world?
Well, let me share with you how this thing came about. I was a gymnast as a kid, taught gymnastics in college, taught for the Board of Education, Park District, YMCA, and I signed a contract to play baseball for the Cubs. And 4 days before going to spring training, I ended up going to spring training, basic training rather than spring training. And then during the off season, after I'd gotten out of the military, I taught school during the day, worked for the park district at night, was asked to pull in the gym show, and that was the beginning of the team. A lot of these young people are productive citizens in our society because we take a no-nonsense approach to teaching them how to live their life and how to give back.
So in other words, they could be great athletes to be on the team, but if they're not doing the work at school, they're not going
to
be on the team.
They have to maintain at least a C average in school. And they have to be leafless, smokeless, and pipeless. The only time they could practice pharmacy is after they've earned a white coat. And they cannot drop out of school to become a part of SWU, which is Sidewalk University.
You get
arrested and go to prison, and it costs we, the taxpayers here in Illinois, around $35,000 a year to put one person in prison for 1 year. And roughly 83% of the people in prison today have not graduated from high school. So I know who they are, you know who they are, and I'm going to do all I can to save as many as I possibly can.
I see your van still driving around, too, with the mats on top. That's a pretty heavy practice schedule, right? They practice a couple times a week?
We do about 1,500 shows a year. We have seven units. We've traveled all over the world. We do most of the NBA teams. We do some NFL, Major League Baseball, tennis, soccer,
volleyball. And traveling all over the world. Talk about some of the cities the team's gone to.
Well, we've been to Zagreb, Croatia, Belize, Israel, China, Tokyo, Japan, Hong Kong, Honolulu, Hawaii, Huanakai, Hawaii, 17 times to Canada, twice Bermuda, once to the Cayman Islands.
All by van.
And No. Little sensitivity training, Nasty.
Yeah.
Yes, right across to the Caymans. You got to go really fast when you hit the coast.
Cayman Islands this week.
Man, yeah, it's something else.
Hey, can I ask a question?
Sure, of course.
Secretary, good to see you. I had a question about the emissions center that closed in Chicago. We now have to go to the suburbs. Is that going to turn around at any point where we don't have to go so far?
Say it again because I got to translate because he doesn't have headphones on.
The emissions testing.
Oh, the emissions testing thing. Well, you were talking to Dave about this. The emissions testing is not part of your jurisdiction,
no.
Right?
No, that's a part of EPA. And if by chance you don't participate in that process, then I'll get a note from EPA to suspend your license.
Right.
If you go through the toll booths a number of times and don't pay, well, then I get a note from EPA.
Right.
And if you don't pay child support, it's called Deadbeat Dads Don't Drive. The clerk will send me a note from the county. And if by chance you have not paid your parking tickets, then I'll get a note from the clerk of the city of Chicago. So
that's why you're not on the tumbling team, your parking tickets.
You know what, though? When I went to apply for my sticker on my car, there was a little red notice, and it said you need to take the emissions test. Yeah. Now, my car's only 4 years old, but I thought, okay, so there are – Steve's correct. There are two that were in Chicago that closed, but they are – they're in Skokie. They're in Tinley Park. They're everywhere.
They're in the suburbs.
Yeah, they're in the suburbs, but they're
Why close. Did they take them out of the city? Just money?
I don't know. That's
you weren't in that meeting?
That was not my call.
Yeah.
But again, the process, I probably was in and out in 5 minutes.
Right, so even they're getting it done, even if you got to drive a little farther. But yeah. Steve was wondering if there's you haven't heard of another of them having a bigger presence in the city again, the EPA putting more emissions testing facilities in the city?
Well, let me review that. Let me have that conversation.
That'd be great. Another legitimate question comes up by the texters. You know, there's not a lot of money in the state. There's not a lot of extra money. How have you been able to be successful in your offices with all the budget problems we have?
Well, we've had to do a lot of cutting. But yet, at the same time, we've been able to maintain the services that the people of the state richly need and deserve.
So what's your management philosophy? Hire great people and let them do their job?
Yes, and also believe in tough love, too.
Yeah, if you got to correct them.
And then when the people come to one of my facilities, I want them to be treated in a highly professional manner and be as courteous as they possibly can.
There is one other thing I wanted to thank you for, you know, because I live a clean life. As you know, I'm a good citizen in America. Just ask me. But renewing my license online, what a pleasant surprise that was.
Well, we pride ourselves in our ability to use technology as our ally. And we've been able to provide a lot of services to the people of the state of Illinois that were not readily available before I came on board.
Sure. Now, my picture looks like I just escaped from Joliet or Menard or somewhere. But because I know you, can I go in and get like the wallets and the 8x10s done until I get one I like?
I wish I had that kind of strength.
We need a camera to handle a bigger head. If you don't mind, I know you're incredibly busy, but there's very few people who have had the experiences you've had in life, including knowing Dr. King. And I tend to get a little flippant about the fact that we call it Black History Month because it shouldn't be just 28 days or 29 days. We ought to be talking about legitimate history all the time, and maybe we don't do enough of it in schools. But you knew Dr. King, and I want to have you tell a couple stories when we come back.
Okay, sure.
Thank you for hanging around. 923. First this on 720 WGN. Texts keep rolling in. 630, Mr. White's the best. We need many more. Maybe you could teach the post office a few things. They act like they rule the country. I don't know. I've had good experiences at the post office as well. But anyway, Secretary of State Jesse White is here. Before I ask you about Dr. King, the personalized plates and the sports plates, that sport plate series started with the Blackhawks, huh?
Yes, we had a meeting with the Blackhawks, Cubs, Bulls, Bears, White Sox. So this goes on and on. And then as it turned out, we charged an additional $25 for the plates and the same $25 or another $25 for the renewal of the plate.
Uh-huh.
And the Blackhawks plate is the bestseller.
Okay.
Second by the White Sox, the Cubs, the Bears, and the Black the Bulls are last.
How about the White Sox being second?
I wonder if that'll change now, though.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the people like the White Sox plate because if you have a gray car, you have a black car.
Looks cool.
Yeah.
A red car.
Yeah, looks cool.
And Illinois has more specialty plates, I think, than any other. You have the youth golf. You're pretty high up there.
We're pretty high.
Yeah.
Where's the money go?
Each one of those is a fundraiser.
Okay.
Yeah. It supports that particular organization. Okay. For example, park district plates, golf plates. Mm-hmm. The
domestic violence.
Right. Got it.
Yes.
All right. You knew Dr. King how?
Yes. I graduated from Lincoln Park High School, Waller High School, then it's Lincoln Park now, and then I went off to college at Alabama State, Montgomery, Alabama.
Sure.
And while I was there, I decided I want to become a member of the Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity. So Reverend Abernathy, Ralph Abernathy,
sure,
was the president of the chapter. And so he required all of the pledgees to attend this church in Montgomery. And while I was there, we were so inspired by this gentleman's spoken words that Rosa Parks was eventually arrested. And then he said the church, I have been asked to lead the effort to desegregate the Montgomery transit system, and I'm going to use the nonviolent means approach because I'm a student of Gandhi. And Gandhi was instrumental in bringing about the independence for the Indians from the British. And so if someone strikes you on one cheek, you turn so you get struck on the other cheek. And I was a basketball player, captain of the team, and Dr. King used to come to all the basketball games. And he did something then that's not legal now. He used to give me $20 after the game. And then as it turned out.
But he wasn't buying your loyalty. No, he was just helping out a kid.
Just showing me a little love.
Yeah, that's it.
And so I raised my hand. He said, Jesse, what can I do for you? I said, Dr. King, I said, you know what? I'm from Chicago, and we don't operate like that. And right. So he said, just follow the script, and if you do those things and more, we will be victorious. And as it turned out, through the efforts of Dr. King and others, we were able to desegregate the Montgomery transit system. And former Mayor Eugene Sawyer and I lived in the same dormitory.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was from Alabama, and I was from Illinois. But in the dormitory of about 50 students, there were only three of us who could vote. And so we were just proud of the fact that we had a chance to meet Dr. King and to participate in that effort to desegregate.
Part of history.
Oh, yes, part of history. But I just believe that there's this big, wide, wonderful world out there, and when we live in peace and harmony with one another, it makes the world a better place for all of us.
And it makes it easier for the rest of us to make the world a better place. Stop fighting, people.
I want to share with you my other philosophy of life, and that is when you come through this world, you become successful, you give back, and you should do something good for someone every day. That's how I run my life.
That's true.
Sorry, you can't retire. You know, I know you deserve to retire, but we can't allow it to happen.
Well, you know, I spent 16 years as a lawmaker, 6 as the County Court of Deeds.
I know. You probably would like some time to yourself. I don't care.
8 years of professional baseball.
Yeah.
10 years in the military. 33 years as a teacher. 58 years with the Tumblers, and yet I'm not 150 years of age.
No, you look fantastic, and we need you. And obviously, you deserve anything you want to do with your life. But you've done so much for this state, and frankly, so much for this state with so little, and so much for these kids, and you've made the world a better place. You deserve to do whatever you want, but I sure would love for you to stay, because I will march with you to Springfield. I'll throw out a bunch of people and keep you, because it's always great seeing you, and it's an honor to talk to you again.
Thank you, Jeff.
Dave,
thank you.
All the best, you guys, and thanks for coming down. We appreciate it. Secretary of State Jesse Wood.
On board.
And don't forget, organ donation. Organ donation. Parents talk to your kids. Kids talk to your parents. I signed up, and the rest of you ought to sign up as well. 25 people? You save lives?
One person can provide life or improve the quality of life for 25 individuals.
Man.
And then when you think about the doctor at Loyola Medical Center who gave her kidney to a patient, and the teacher who gave New Lenox, Illinois, her student, her kidney, and one of my Tumblers was shot and killed coming out of the Ford City Mall years ago, and 6 of his organs were used for transplantation purposes. As I said before, when you're alive and well, give blood. When you're no longer here, give organs. Mm-hmm. And when you've done those 2 things, you've made a positive impact on society.
Yeah,
I think you may have listened to Dr. King once or twice.
A few times.
9:32, big story next, 7:20 WGN. And Billy Deck will join us.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:44, our friend Owen Mahan would love to get a letter from you. This little boy was abused and severely burned in a shower or a bath, taken away from the people who allegedly were his parents. And we spoke with his foster mom. He recently had his 48th surgery. He's 9 years old, and the severe burns over his body obviously affect him for the rest of his life. He loves to open mail, and you can send him a letter if you like, and you could also make a donation to his GoFundMe page, which you can find on Google. But this is an exceptional little kid who brings joy to the world, even though he's been through hell and a million things nobody should ever experience or see. But his name's Owen Mahan. And a lot of people have asked, where's the address? We put it up on Facebook. We put it up on Twitter. We put it up at Steve Cochran Show. And you can get it through all the GN portals. You know what, Billy? I'm going to give this to you to take with you as well. Billy Duck's here with Billy Duck's social network. We'll get him some letters as well. Anyway, Owen Mahan, M-A-H-A-N, 302 Brixton Woods E Drive. For those of you that keep asking for the address, B-R-I-X-T-O-N Woods E Drive, E, the letter E, Drive in Pittsboro, Indiana, P-I-T-T-S-B-O-R-O, Indiana, 46167. And again, we'll keep reposting it on Twitter and on Facebook. Billy Deck is...
I sent him a card yesterday.
So did I?
Yeah.
I've sent him a couple.
Yeah, he's great. Fabulous kid. Love that kid.
Billy Deck's here, the busiest man in show business. How are you, man?
I'm good. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, of course. Nice to see you. It's been a little while, but what's happening at Rocket?
We have this new chef. It's been a dozen years that we came into this dead neighborhood called River North where no one really went and you couldn't get a cab. And
of course, you get a piece of the action from everybody now.
You know, that would have been the most amazing deal of all time. Yeah, people would have been like, everyone said you were crazy. Of all our venues, that was the hardest to raise money for because people were like, this does not make sense. This area will never work.
Yeah.
And now, a dozen years later, we have someone who was Food & Wine's best new chefs, came from Blackbird and some other great places, Chef Mike Sheeran, making a whole new menu, just reinventing comfort food, which is really awesome because when we came here, we were, I don't know if you remember this 12 years ago, if you really wanted amazing food with high quality service ingredients, it was kind of stuffy in the restaurants and expensive.
Course. Yeah,
and if
yeah,
you
yeah.
wanted comfortable, like jeans and what we're wearing,
right.
and it was like a sports bar or the food was compromised a touch. So what we did was kind of come in the middle, and that was kind of nonsensical back then, but now it's just kind of
everybody's
cool.
doing it, and Billy's not getting a dime. How dare you? How dare you, people?
I mean, come on, this is great. You've heard it here first, it's true.
And there's a little spread going on in the green room right now, so I expect the vultures from the seventh floor to strike at any time.
Wait, yeah. I'm going out there now. Still, I have to say, one of the best burgers in Chicago.
And guess what? That's the only thing, the Rocket Burger with the Kobe beef and the truffle fries, we kept that one on, and about two more other things. Everything else is reinvented. There's something
What's this bacon meatloaf?
I know. You know what's surprising about the bacon meatloaf is that's awesome, but what's even amazing is this coconut curry cauliflower underneath, and you mix it all up together, and it just becomes this like comfort food. America meets Asia. Speaking of America, there's a really good pimento cheese toast out there with a whole banh mi kind of topping.
Really?
That's really amazing. And something called crunchy ass fried chicken. Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah.
You just did.
So it's called crunchy.
Because it is.
It's literally called the menu crunchy ass fried chicken.
Right.
It's really
a medical term.
It's amazing. Yeah. So we have all sorts of great things like that. Spicy beef.
Nashville hot chicharrones.
Chicharrones. Yes. Something that I grew up with in my household at all times, being from a Filipino-American family. That's something that was like our water and chicharrones.
And what's going on? Otto Mezzo?
Yeah, Otto Mezzo is this new Italian cocktail bar. This was the last job that I ever had.
When's the last time you slept?
Not for a while. But my last job at 21, I was a doorman at a place called Martini Ranch. Do you remember it?
Sure, of course.
Totally yeah, it was open till 4 or 5 a.m. And we're taking that over and doing this really cool Italian cocktail bar with Chicago Tribune named the best bartender and the best chef last year, and they're both, Chef Hickey and Brandon, the bartender from Duck Inn, who've done really well there, are doing this cocktail bar with amazing cocktails till 5 in the morning, in case you want to come for breakfast or
so
stay out late.
So when you guys are waking up, basically.
Right, after after my all-night rave. Right, that's exactly right.
You should totally do that.
Actually, on the way to work.
Yes. Yeah, you could. We could have amazing craft cocktails on the way to work just to take the edge off.
Well, we're awake at that hour. We're awake at that hour, so we can roll in showered and awake.
Technically, Amaro, bitters was once a medicinal, liquid, so it could be good for you. This could be a movement.
Well, you got to be careful, though. So was Coke. So here's the thing going forward.
This is where it gets serious. I could see it in your face.
Not at all. But you open this. Yeah. You do that. You bring these folks over, and I assume you have the best chef, the best bartender, all this place. They have regulars that follow them, right?
Yes, they do, and it's really interesting. It's caused us to amp up our game a little bit with all sorts of other things that we have to orchestrate that creates this super high expectation that people have now these days after all this cooking and food TV and be calling themselves foodies, that we really put more into the aesthetics, the level of service, just the comfort and cocktails and music and the outfit. You really think about all the elements because the bar is raised. There's about a ridiculous restaurant bubble coming. I mean,
you can have great food in a dump, and the word will get out, and it'll be somehow chic cool. You cannot have great ambience with bad food.
Right. That word gets out as well.
Yeah, a great room with bad food, forget about it. You're out of business.
I actually think the days of having amazing food in dumps are having a higher probability of finding an obstacle because it's just so competitive right now. The supply.
Oh, I'm not saying that's the business model.
Yeah.
I'm saying that and could survive.
Wouldn't it be awesome?
I don't think the goal should be let's get great food and put it in a dump. but you know, a great rib shack in a dive will find a way to survive.
Well, you know, that was my model when I first opened 22, a nightclub called Solo. It was on the other side of Cabrini Green, and it was an old Jerry Rinaldi's pizza place that no one went to, and it was such a dump that I always took like pizza circles and put them on the wall and called it art.
That's funny.
But I put real talent in, so that was my concept. And I was poor. So, yeah.
Both worked. All right. And he's given it all up for show business.
No.
So you say the Oscars coming up this weekend. I'm waiting for you to go up and surprise us and take your statue.
Yeah, right. By the way, shout out to someone we hope takes the statue, which is Chicago's Michael Shannon.
We'll be
watching Red Orchid Theaters doing a benefit at Rocket to watch their man make it. It's his second.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he's a founder.
No, I know he's from here, but I didn't know you were doing a party for him.
The Red Orchid Theater, and I've been supporting them for about 6 years, and I just love small theater in Chicago, keeping it accessible. And he is
so perfectly weird. It'd be so great for him to see him win.
He's awesome.
He's just a whack job.
And I had dinner with him a little bit ago, and it was 2 hours long, and I walked away and I was like, I don't think I could repeat. I couldn't even say one. He's not the kind of guy
if you found out he was running a secret agency of super spies, you wouldn't be any more surprised than if you found out he was an international criminal. Either one would work for him,
you know. But people think so. There used to be this thing like he'd walk down the street and people like, hey, Michael Shannon's kind of weird. He's kind of talking to himself. But as I started acting more and doing parts and stuff like that, I started hearing the rumors like, hey, my friend was walking by you the other day and you were talking to yourself. Are you okay? He's just like doing lines and doing
rehearsals.
Lines. Yeah, it's rehearsals.
It's all rehearsals.
So if you ever see me walking down the street talking to myself,
it's rehearsals.
As far as you know. More with Billy Deck in just a second, because I do want to ask you about acting because you're doing a bunch of it and I think you have more stuff coming up. So I'll ask you about that. And also quickly want to ask you about politics because you did work for President Obama. Trump may be going, hey, Billy, can you stick around for a while?
Technically, I still do work for the White House.
That's not his fault. It's 9:53. We're back with more in a moment on 720 WGN. Billy Deck's here. For all things Billy Deck, where do we go? Follow you on social media.
All things, just my name, at Billy Deck. Last name spelled D-E-C. It's same on Facebook.
All right, and we're not going to have time to do this justice, so we're going to fly through this. Acting, what are you doing?
Started Elston Films just to bring high quality films here. It's called Bury the Lead. It's off the blacklist, which is all the professionals in Hollywood vote on the best scripts of the year. So let's say I think like four of the last five Oscar winners for Best Picture were blacklist scripts. And so I'm bringing this to Chicago. I made it a New York story into a Chicago story.
Nice.
And so
for people that want to pitch a script, stop you anywhere in the street.
Yeah,
and
people
just
who
want
to throw money at me to help me make this low budget independent for sure.
Right.
And then Anthony Hemingway just won a Globe and Emmy for the American Crime Story, which he cast me in, and cast me in Empire. So I made him the director, and he said yes. And so that's awesome.
Oh, that's very cool.
So that's
and
all
how's
happening.
Your bud Schwimmer?
He's here. He's right down the street from you, putting up a new play that opens in, I think, 3 weeks at Looking Glass Theater. And he's been helping me produce and teach me in how the biz. And we were just at Rocket last night eating the crunchy ass fried chicken.
I wish you were having more fun in life. All right. Now, we're just going to do this quickly. President Obama hires you to fight bullying.
3 years ago as his advisor to all things Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders and the White House Bullying Prevention Task Force working with the Department of Justice, Health and Human Services, and Education.
And thank you for that service. That technically overlaps into this Trump White House. What does that mean for you?
It does not.
It doesn't.
Everyone resigns the day that the president leaves as they sign up. But I was asked in September to stay on for a year as part of a transition crew.
Because of the chicken?
Because it makes sense to have people actually carry forward all the work and the data and tools. Like the White House Bullying Prevention Task Force, I have all the good facts and figures and tools and systems that we actually go into schools and give, not just kids and parents, but like the teachers, the lawmakers, the police, the community.
So you're going to stick with it for at least a while.
I have not.
Don't be a politician. You're going to stick with it for at least a while.
I am getting pressured to do different things, but I'm going to stick with it because good.
I think it's good.
It is important to carry this goodness forward.
And thanks for reading that off the teleprompter.
there is no teleprompter. No, it's teleprompter. Written on my hand.
Billy, thank you, man. It's great seeing you. And the crunchy chicken made you very happy. Aww.